I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for listening to What Mama Wants. I kind of think Mother Earth wants less toxics and more health for her planet. This is a chance to hear from educators, citizens, policymakers, and scientists about the role toxics are playing in our daily lives. Things like PFAS, plastics, and pesticides. And we always wonder about what Mother Earth wants while we're at it. My guest today is Lori Gramlich. She's been a member of the Maine House of Representatives for the last 4 years and represents Old Orchard Beach. Lori is a social worker who wields her advocacy skill as a legislator, who actually cares about the well-being of people, especially children, and clean water. On the Environmental and Natural Resources Committee, Lori shines as an environmental champion. Thanks for coming on What Mama Wants today so we can talk about you going to work on the policy angle to protect kids and environment from the toxics.
Well, thanks, Kate, so much for having me. I am really honored to be here to elevate this very important issue when we talk about toxics and toxic chemicals and the implications that these chemicals have on not only our Earth in terms of what Mama wants, but for me, most importantly, to our children who are the future of our Earth.
Yeah. Well, it's a delight to have you. I'm so tickled you could come. You've submitted a lot of bills advocating for health, protecting drinking water, limiting single-use plastics and things like that. But today, we're going to first focus on pesticides and then on PFAS. Would you be willing to tell us about your successful LD 519, an act to protect children from exposure to toxic chemicals, which is basically a ban on the use of non-selective herbicides, aka Roundup, within 75 feet of schools?
Yeah, sure. I just have to tell you, Kate, if somebody told me 10 years ago that I would be doing this kind of work in terms of being an environmental champion, I wouldn't have believed it. But I've always cared about what's happening with our earth, with our water, how we're growing our food, and how we're taking care of each other and our earth and the food and water that we eat and drink. And so, you know, this time of year, everybody's out gardening, everybody's out getting ready for spring and summer. And, you know, I'm a gardener, I grow my own food, I have a flower garden, and I'm small scale compared to some of our very hardworking Mainers who own farms in the state of Maine. And so when you go to the store and you buy your supplies, I was struck and have been struck for years about the aisles and aisles and aisles of herbicides and pesticides intended to kill weeds. People want their nice green lawns, so they don't want dandelions. And we know dandelions are really important. These herbicides and pesticides are harmful to humans. They're harmful to children. And so I was thinking, how can we continue to use these toxic chemicals in close proximity to our children and to the water that we drink? And so I've always been kind of perplexed by that. And I thought, well, here I am as a state rep. I have an opportunity to really try to do something about that in terms of having good public policy to protect our children. And so this particular piece of legislation that I introduced back, I actually initially introduced it during my first term. I'm in my fourth year serving on the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And I introduced an iteration of this bill back in 2019 when I was first elected. And because COVID really disrupted everything that we did in the legislature in March of 2020, this bill did not advance in the way that I would have liked, meaning it would have been signed into law. So I reintroduced it when I was reelected in 2021. And this particular piece of legislation is entitled An Act to Protect Children from Exposure to Toxic Chemicals, being Roundup, really quite precisely, glyphosates. I didn't really know much about that. So I did a lot of research and I thought, you know what? How can we take a crack at doing something that's going to be effective and it'll be a starting point? And so through my research, I learned that this is a perennial bill, meaning that many others prior to my service and tenure in the legislature had tried to introduce similar iterations of this unsuccessfully. And so I took that information and tweaked what I could to hopefully have something that the committee of jurisdiction would pass out. And they did. They passed this bill out of committee and subsequently passed through the House and the Senate, and the governor signed it into law.
That is exciting. I'm glad you stopped to think about what that acrid smell in the aisles of the hardware store really is. And I just avoid it. You know, I don't like going in that area of the store because it's so uncomfortable. And I I shudder to think of what it's like circulating through small children's bodies that have a faster respiratory rate and are closer to the ground.
Well, exactly. You know, these chemicals are poisonous. I mean, not only for lawn pests and weeds, but for people, pests, and our planet. The range of known harmful effects include things like cancer, asthma, reproductive problems, liver and kidney damage, nervous and immune system disorders, and our children are especially vulnerable as their small bodies are rapidly developing. And, you know, we want to be able to give kids every single tool they need to be healthy and successful, and they certainly don't need to be exposed to toxic chemicals.
No, I'd way rather have them exposed to dandelions.
Exactly. I was a part of No Mow May. We did not mow our lawn. Well, I broke down May 30th and did. It was getting quite high, but it felt liberating on a lot of levels.
That's awesome. So what does this mean for children now that it's law? How does this, do people know when something becomes a law?
That's a great question. I've learned over my 4 years in the legislature that is not always the case. So having these kinds of opportunities to help elevate and further elevate these types of issues and that there are now laws really goes a long way. You know, I know that the city of Portland, South Portland as well, had implemented similar types of bans on these types of toxic chemicals. So it's known in some municipalities, but certainly not statewide. Essentially, this bill was heard before the Agricultural Committee, and the Board of Pesticide Management has some oversight around how these particular policy initiatives will be implemented. So essentially, this law says that these types of toxic chemicals cannot be sprayed within 75 feet of school grounds, daycare centers, or places where children play. It's an important step in the right direction to address the overall use of these deadly toxic chemicals.
I'm thinking right now about a small park that's at the top of my street that always has a stake in the ground that says, don't let your children or pets anywhere near this toxic stuff. And I wonder if they will also be held accountable to this law.
That's a great question that I'm not entirely certain because of the way the law ended up getting worked in the work session. I'll back up for a second. We all have lots of great ideas about how we want to affect policy. And I know I have a ton of them. And what I've had to learn in the legislature is quite often it is incumbent upon me to really take a step back and listen to all of the voices of all of the stakeholders and be willing to compromise. It's okay to compromise. And it's okay to be comfortable with not getting 100% of what you want. Because then you have something that you can build upon if you get a piece of it. And I feel with this particular piece of legislation, we took an initial step in getting a piece of what we want in the direction in which we want to go.
Yes.
And so to that end, there are some nuances in the final iteration of the bill, which was signed into law, that we had to compromise on. And so, you know, particularly up in Aroostook County, where we have vast, vast, vast fields of farmland, the farmers and the folks that live up there wanted to make sure that they weren't being adversely impacted. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult to reconcile because I'm always looking at it through the lens of a child these kids don't always have the control over anything in terms of what they're being exposed to or anything else in their life. So I'm a lifelong advocate for children. I'm always going to try to look through everything I do in public policy with that lens.
Yes. Well, I'm so happy you're in the legislature thinking about the kids. I have a similar commitment to them. And we wanted to talk about PFAS today. That's per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, a class of thousands of synthetic chemicals that never break down. This spring, the legislature's Bipartisan Environment and Natural Resources Committee voted unanimously to advance a package of bills that you proposed regarding PFAS. So they're about protecting the public from adverse health effects caused by toxic PFAS, or what we call forever chemicals. I'm wondering why you care about PFAS in Maine.
thank you for that question. And thank you for saying it all out loud. I always say PFAS because I get tongue twisted on saying that chemical.
Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances.
Yes.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. I've practiced.
It doesn't roll. And you know what? That's a really great observation. It doesn't roll off the tongue for a reason. And the reason it does not roll off the tongue is because this is a chemical of which the compound is so huge that it never breaks down.
It was designed to not break down.
It was designed to last forever, which is why it is called forever chemicals. And so people, you know, I travel all around the state and I have family who live out of state and I have these kinds of conversations and I'm really surprised at folks who really do not know what PFAS is because I've been living in that world now for 4 years. PFAS is on those nonstick pans that we use so that when we make scrambled eggs, they don't stick. PFAS is on stain-resistant items so that people don't get stains on their furniture or on their rugs. It protects their rugs. Where do little children play? On the floor, on their rugs. They're sitting on the couch.
On the floors.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And PFAS is in everything that you can think about because it's been around for about 50, 60 years, and it's commonplace for us. I was shocked to learn that PFAS is in dental floss.
Mascara.
I'm looking for alternatives to my dental floss. I'm not too concerned about the mascara.
I hear you. You know, it's insidious. And you said you've been living in this world and you're surprised when people don't know it. We've actually all been living in a world polluted to the gills. Thanks, DuPont and 3M and others, Chemours, Dow, and other chemical companies that have known. They're putting toxic chemicals that can't be cleaned out of the earth all over the earth, and now they're in all of us.
They are. And quite frankly, it's my opinion that we need to hold those chemical companies and those industries to account.
What would that look like?
Well, ultimately, I would love to see them stop the production and use of these chemicals. We know that there are safer alternatives available. We know this. It's about being able to utilize those safer alternatives. And let's face it, these industries, they're looking at their bottom line. And that's business. And I'm gonna respect that people have a business plan and a business model. However, not at the expense of and the detriment to our earth and our children. You know, I first learned about this in my first term on the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. My colleague, Representative Henry Ingerson, his constituent is Fred Stone, who lives in Arundel. And I know that you spoke with Fred earlier in your broadcast. I had the opportunity to have Fred Stone provide testimony for one of my pieces of legislation. So I heard from him firsthand about what was happening to his farm. And unfortunately, what we have learned is that he is not the only farmer that has been impacted. This is pervasive across the state of Maine, and we have just hit the tip of the iceberg. It is incumbent upon all of us to do everything we can to stop the utilization of this and to mitigate the damages. And the chemical companies need to be held to account for that.
Yeah, they made the profits.
They made the profits, and we are the unfortunate byproduct.
They made the profits knowing what they were doing. That's the part that's so dark to me. They absolutely knew, the military knew, and it was covered up so that we didn't know and they could keep making things that were waterproof.
Exactly.
Or slippery.
Exactly. I mean, I really care so deeply about this issue because of the significant health risks and certain types of cancers. And it's unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable. And that's why I put in a suite of bills. I had the good fortune of working with some wonderful, wonderful advocates in the building, namely the folks at Defend Our Health. I am not a scientist. I'm a social worker. I'd like to say I'm a social scientist. You want to talk about behavioral health care? That's my wheelhouse. I'll be there all day long. But I've been given an opportunity to look at this through an environmental justice lens. And if I can use my voice and the platform that I have as a state legislator to elevate these critically important issues, to advance good public policy, to protect people and protect our earth, then that's what I'm going to do. And I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to do that.
That is really cool. It's fixing the rules of the game, isn't it? You know, just playing a safer, healthier, more inclusive game.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is about being inclusive because these issues, quite frankly, are not partisan issues. This is about the health of our planet and the health of our future, meaning our kids.
Absolutely. So you've pushed for the ban of AFFF, which is a firefighting foam, because this PFAS is really good at just quenching a fire, not getting it any oxygen. So what other products would you like to see banned besides firefighting foam?
The bill that you're referring to, you know, we heard it in the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and we worked with the state, and we certainly would want to adhere with what the Department of Defense was doing, but the Department of Defense is in the process of phasing some of that out. I mean, it is important that you are able to squelch fires, but at the same time, you want to protect firefighters while they're doing so. The other piece of legislation that was signed into law has to do with requiring transparency for manufacturers who add PFAS to their products and phase out their use in Maine. That's what I was talking about earlier in terms of carpets and stain-resistant items and places where kids are playing. There's going to be a point in time where we are no longer going to be able to sell those products in the state of Maine. And then finally, the last piece of legislation that has become law would ensure that testing of our land and water for PFAS contamination is done routinely.
So we're not accidentally, we had a clean aquifer, but now it's not. So we need to know the difference.
Exactly. And honestly, the more we test, the more, I believe, the more we're going to find, which is why it's incumbent upon us to hold the industry to account.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to What Mama Wants. Less toxics and more health. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Maine Representative Lori Gramlich. She's a social worker and a professional badass organizer who has always looked out for vulnerable people since childhood, actually. But Lori, I bet you didn't know about PFAS before getting involved with our state government.
I did not. I learned about this through my colleagues and my service on the environmental committee.
Yeah. You just never know what you're going to learn while you're serving at the legislature, because you all cover such broad-reaching disciplines. And I'm kind of curious about how you educate yourself on everything that you have to learn about, but also toxics. And, you know, what's the system for legislators learning?
Wow. You know, I've always said in Maine, it's really a great place to advance public policy because we are a citizen legislature. There's folks from all walks of life serving. Happy to report we have 8 social workers serving in the Maine State House. We have attorneys, we have teachers, we have farmers, we have all kinds of folks that bring different lived experience to the table. And so in addition to my relying really on advocates to help me better understand some of these issues, because there's no way any single one of us serving in the legislature is going to be conversant in every single policy issue that comes before us. It's just not possible. People have used the analogy, it's like drinking out of a fire hose.
Yeah.
And it's challenging. And so what I've done is try to hone in on policy areas that I'm really most interested in and do my very best to educate myself. But when I'm trying to articulate this to my colleagues, I again rely on lived experience. And I rely on my friends who are in the advocacy world, who they know this stuff.
Yeah, the advocates are also sometimes called lobbyists, right? And I think of them as tutors. You know, they know all about something, say chemicals that you might not know anything about, and they can give you the skinny.
They can. You know, prior to my service in the legislature, I was one of those folks, which is why I always say we're advocates, because we're advocating for something. And for me as a social worker, I'm advocating for systemic change. But we're lobbyists. We're registered lobbyists. And people would look at me kind of funny when I would tell them I was a lobbyist. But lobbyists in the State House have a really important role because they really provide us with a lot of the tools in our toolbox so that we can be effective in advancing these kinds of policies.
Yeah, up to date and relevant. That's so cool that
exactly.
There are people that are kind of like structural supports for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You just never know what you're going to learn. Lori, you advocate for people and the environment regularly, but have you ever gotten to speak on behalf of Mother Earth herself?
No, not quite in that vein, Kate.
I wonder what you imagine Mama Earth wants with regards to toxics at this point.
You know, I know that I have more in my rearview mirror than I have in my windshield. My time on this earth is finite, and I have begun to have a greater sense of urgency in terms of what I'm doing to protect our earth and to protect, I have a child and I have nieces and nephews, our future generation. And so I think what our Mother Earth would want is for us to do everything we can to care for her in all the ways we know we're able to. And I only need to look at our indigenous peoples, who are the best stewards of our land. They don't have to be told, because it is their life. And I honor that.
I'm so glad you're there, paying attention and advocating for clean environment for all of us. And you have a lot of lived experiences that you're applying to. I think that's a really important thing to think about. You know, what do we want to do with our lives as we get more urgency, more need to get things done and have all that wisdom with us, you know? So, you know, run for legislature.
Well, we know that for women, it takes us about 9 times to be asked. So, Kate, I've already said it once. Consider this your second time being asked officially now for all to hear.
And how about for all the women out there?
And for all the women out there.
There's
this
one
is,
down.
You've all been asked at least one time now to run for public office. We need your voices.
Lori, to close this interview, I'd like to ask you a few quick questions about your personal relationship with the earth, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to do outside when you were a kid?
Oh my gosh. Growing up, we lived out in the country and we had about 1.5 acres of land, but it abutted an apple orchard. And so all the neighborhood kids would just go running through into the orchard, and there was a creek back there, and we built tree forts and we picked apples and we climbed trees. And it was so much fun. And those are really, really fond early childhood memories for me.
They're really visual. Any apple fights?
No, no apple fights. No, no.
Describe a scene in nature where you have felt awe.
Oh my gosh. Well, I live so close to the Atlantic Ocean. I'm in awe of that every single day. However, about 6 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon. And it was a very, very powerful experience to bear witness to the magnitude and the beauty and the bounty of our earth.
It's quite ancient and exposed. What's one thing that your mother taught you about Mother Earth?
Well, when I was a kid growing up, we just had regular TV with commercials. And I remember seeing commercials about litter and showing graphic pictures of people littering, throwing things out of their car. And they would end the commercial with a Native American leader standing, looking at it all, crying. And that had such a profound effect on me. And I actually share that story with my colleagues on the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and the other adage, give a hoot, don't pollute. Those were messages that were really reinforced for me as a kid, and I think those are simple messages that we need to revisit.
I remember the ad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Poignant. What is one thing you wonder about in nature?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question.
It is.
Thanks, Kate. I guess I'm always kind of amazed and in awe of the tides, as I do live so close to the ocean, and how that is impacted with our moon and just the rich, wonderful tapestry that we have, that we call our earth and we call our home. I mean, I'm in awe of all of it. And as I've said, I feel it's critically important that in my role as a legislator, but all of us, do everything that we can to protect that.
Sacred bond. This one's pretty easy. Last one. What's your favorite baby animal?
Oh, gosh. Years ago, I would have said a puppy, but I think kittens.
Oh, she switched teams. They're pretty adorable.
They're just stinking cute. As long as I can, you know, tell you cat and dog lovers, sorry, as long as I can give them back to their owners, that's fine.
Oh, Lori, you have always been motivated to protect our water, the very stuff of life, and you care deeply about the well-being of all of us. Thank you for your passion and your advocacy work that makes the world safer today and makes Maine a leader in the nation. Thank you for the work you do and for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. I really appreciate the opportunity.